Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: I was very much attached to those sages. I was gentle in behavior, and all my sins were eradicated in their service. In my heart, I had strong faith in them. I had subjugated the senses, and I was strictly following them with body and mind. Purport: these are the necessary qualifications for a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. Such a candidate must always seek the association of pure devotees. One should not be misled by a pseudo-devotee. He himself must be plain and gentle to receive the instructions of such a pure devotee. A pure devotee is a completely surrendered soul unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows the Personality of Godhead as the Supreme Proprietor and all others as His servitors. And by the association of pure devotees only, one can get rid of all sins accumulated by mundane association. A neophyte devotee must faithfully serve the pure devotee, and he should be very much obedient and strictly follow the instructions. These are the signs of a devotee who is determined to achieve success even in the existing duration of life. Like everything in this world, this mic also seeps going down, down, down. Om Ajnanati Mirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. This is Narad Muni speaking to his dear disciple Srila Vyasadev. Narad Muni is describing his situation in the previous life, in his previous life. He was a small boy at the time of this episode that is being described. And his mother was a very pious lady, very devoted, and she had great faith in serving the sadhus, the saintly persons, and in all likelihood the boy inherited this tendency from her. And when these Bhaktivedantas, these great sadhus, came to their home one time in the Chaturmasya, the 4 months of the rainy season, the mother faithfully served the sages, and so did this young boy. And he once ate their Mahaprasadam. He served them in various ways. And specifically, as Narad Muni mentions here in the previous verses, he heard them with great faith and attention whenever they were speaking about the glories of the Supreme Lord. And in this verse he says that he was very attached to those sages. And as a boy, unlike other boys of his age, he was very gentle in behavior. He had subjugated the senses, and he was strictly following these great sages with body and mind. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, in the very beginning, that these are the necessary qualifications for a prospective candidate who can expect to be elevated to the position of a pure, unadulterated devotee. So the question of qualification or eligibility to be a pure devotee is a very important one, because we all are here for that purpose. Every single one of us here who is in this room, or perhaps who is watching on the internet, or anyone who is seriously involved in the missionary activities of this movement, is desirous of becoming a pure devotee, and that's the goal of our life. So naturally, this question is very, very important for us. What is the qualification we need to acquire to become a pure devotee? What is the eligibility that is necessary for pure devotional service? Srila Rupa Goswami, in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, very nicely explains this in the second and third chapters. In the second chapter, which is itself titled "The Kinds of the Eligibility for Devotional Service," he speaks about how ruchi or taste is something that is very important for a devotee. This taste implies an attraction for the Supreme Lord. You know, in order to do something with enthusiasm, in order to continue an activity, in order to like a particular activity, there must be some taste for it. Let's take the gross example of some foodstuff. When you like the taste of something, you want to eat more and more of it. Someone who has acquired a taste for a particular kind of eatable would like to have that again and again. Similarly, when we have acquired a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, when we have acquired some kind of attraction for Krishna, that is called ruchi. Ruchi is a Sanskrit word that means taste. And this taste, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions, is acquired from the previous lives, and it follows one into this life. And then as one moves on into this life, gradually it builds up. And with this taste, then one actually encounters a Mahatma. One becomes eligible to interact with a Mahatma. So these previous impressions, they account for the taste that one has in this current life. And this is, of course, the preliminary requirement for entry into the realm of devotional service. Now, there are two things. One is logic, and the other is ruchi. Generally, it is our nature in this world to use our intelligence for applying logic, logical analysis to different things. So, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that when logic is dry, it's called kevala. Without any ruchi, without any taste, then one will not be able to appreciate, let alone understand, the bhakti scriptures like the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. But if one has ruchi, one has taste for Krishna consciousness that has been acquired by dint of the previously performed Krishna consciousness, knowingly or unknowingly, then, in combination with logic, then one can understand the devotional scriptures very nicely. Prabhupada says, regardless whether one has taste or not, if one is fortunate enough somehow or other to take interest in Krishna Katha that is spoken by great devotees of the Lord, one can enter into the realm of devotional service. However, Srila Prabhupada says, it is easier, much easier, for one who has taste or ruchi to be able to understand and appreciate Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So with the taste, the natural attraction for Krishna comes in this world. So further on, in the third chapter, Srila Rupa Goswami speaks about how one must hear from a Mahatma. And a Mahatma is one, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport to this verse, today's verse, a Mahatma is one who is a completely surrendered soul unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a Supreme Proprietor and everyone else as his servitors. So it is by such association of the Mahatmas and hearing from them about Krishna and serving them that one develops a little bit of attraction for Krishna. So this is a very important qualification, to be attracted to Krishna. Now in this period when one is attracted to Krishna initially, there may still be some material desires. The material desires are not about to go away at the moment we come to Krishna consciousness. It takes time. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada explains in his elaboration on this idea that even if one has material desires, one has not been successful so far in extinguishing or destroying those material inclinations, nevertheless, if one has some attraction for Krishna, then one is an eligible candidate for coming to Krishna consciousness, for entering the realm of pure devotional service. And this is a sign of great fortune. Srila Prabhupada mentions the famous verse quoted or spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Brahmanda Bhramite Kono Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. Which means that basically, it is a person with great fortune who is rare to find in this world, who has achieved the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Srila Rupa Goswami cites a very important verse from the Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the chapter entitled Pure Devotional Service, where Krishna says, Yadrichaya mat kathado jata shraddhastu yah puman na nirvinno nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhadaha. And the meaning of this verse is, it actually describes who should strive for bhakti yoga, who is eligible to attain perfection of life through the process of bhakti yoga. And before I explain this verse, I'll go a few verses previous to that one, where Krishna is asked various questions by Uddhava, and in response he says, my dear Uddhava, in order that the human beings of this world achieve perfection in life, I have given to them three paths of yoga. One is the path of jnana, the jnana yoga. The second is the path of karma or karma yoga. And the third is the path of bhakti, which is bhakti yoga. So what do each of these terms mean? Karma yoga means that one dedicates or submits one's activities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yajnarthat karmanonyatra lokoyam karma bandhana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sangha samachara. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, Krishna says that one should perform one's activities for the satisfaction of Krishna or Vishnu. And elsewhere, of course, Krishna also says that karma yoga involves the offering of the fruits of one's activities to the Supreme Lord. Yat karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi tadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya tad kurushva madarpanam. So this is karma yoga. Jnana Yoga is the path of trying to enter into the impersonal spiritual light, the Brahma Jyoti, to merge into that light and try to extinguish one's individuality by the process of austerity and mental speculation and so on. And the third path is the one of devotion to the Lord. So he says these are the three paths. And he says, he talks about the qualifications for each of these three. And then he describes that there are three kinds of people who follow these three according to their different mentalities and their propensities and their inclinations. So why has Krishna made these three paths broadly? In order to facilitate the progress towards perfection of people with these different kinds of mentalities. There's no one size fits all for everyone. It's not possible that everyone will be similarly inclined. So, someone who is inclined towards Jnana Yoga will move on that path. Someone who is inclined towards sense gratification will move towards that path. And those who are very, very fortunate will come to Bhakti Yoga. Now, although Krishna speaks about these three paths as being ones that lead to perfection, which is ultimately Krishna consciousness, one should not think that all three are equal. The path of Bhakti Yoga is supreme. And the purpose of the other two is to eventually come to Bhakti Yoga. And the purpose of Bhakti Yoga eventually is to develop pure love of Godhead. He says Jnana Yoga is for those who are attached to austerity and who are no longer attached to karma, to the material activities of this world. The path of Karma Yoga is for those who have some attachment to material activities, who have some fruitive mentality, which means they want to enjoy the fruits of their activities. And Bhakti Yoga is for whom? That is the crucial question. And therefore he speaks this verse. Yadrichaya mat kathado jata shraddhastu yah puman. So the first and most important qualification for a devotee, the eligibility for entering into devotional service is that one should have developed jata, shraddha, faith. In what? Mat kathado. Mat katha, and is Krishna speaking. Mat means my. So he says katha or narrations about me. And ado or etc. means that not just the hearing but also chanting and worshipping and all the other limbs of devotional service. So Krishna says that the first qualification for a devotee is that he or she should have developed faith in the process of hearing and chanting, etc., about him. The second qualification, he says, is na nirvinnaha. Nirvinnaha means to be extremely renounced, to have almost a sense of disgust for the material world. It's a renunciation that is extreme, and that comes out of performing nishkama karma, you know, in the past, perhaps in previous lives. Nishkama karma means to perform karma or activities without attachment to the fruits. This is nishkama karma. So, performing such activities over a long period of time, perhaps someone may develop a sense of renunciation, but this renunciation could be very deep, to the point of being disgusted with the world and not wanting to have anything to do with the material world at all. So a devotee should not be disgusted with the material world in this fashion. A devotee should not be extremely averse to the material world. A devotee's renunciation should not be extreme. So, na nirvinnaha. At the same time, na atisaktaha. Similarly, one should not be extremely attached to this material world as well. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. So what does it mean when it says extreme attachment to the world? Extreme attachment means that one is very strongly attached to material objects. One very much wants to enjoy this material world. So this is ati saktaha. Ati means greatly, extremely. So for one who is extremely renounced, disgusted with the material world, that person is a candidate for the path of Jnana Yoga. That is the eligibility. Extreme renunciation is the eligibility for the path of Jnana Yoga. The path of merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti by mental speculation. Those who are extremely attached to material activities, ati saktaha, they are qualified or eligible for the path of karma. Karma means performing activities and then offering the fruits of those actions to Krishna, at least in the initial stages. And then one gradually progresses, hopefully by association of devotees, into bhakti yoga. So for a devotee, the second qualification that Krishna says in the Uddhava Gita, na nirvanaha, one should not be extremely renounced. And the third qualification, he says, one should not be extremely attached to the material world either. So karma yoga, jnana yoga represent two extremes of attachment and renunciation. But the path of bhakti yoga is a path that is in between. It's a path of moderation. One cannot be too averse to the material world and one cannot be too attached to the material world. A devotee understands that this material world is also the energy of Krishna, Daivi Prakriti. It's Krishna's divine energy and therefore we should not hate it. We should not be disgusted with it. Rather, seeing everything as Krishna's energy, one should try to utilize that in Krishna's service, without trying to exploit that for one's own sense gratification. This is real renunciation as described by Rupa Goswami. So therefore, in the process of utilizing the material energy, the devotee has this consciousness. There is no sense of aversion. However, Srila Prabhupada explains that detachment from the desires for sense enjoyment is essential for progress in bhakti yoga. That is very helpful. So there's two types of things here in renunciation. One is a complete aversion and disgust with respect to the material world, and the other is understanding that this material world is a property of Krishna, it should be used in Krishna's service, but at the same time, being free from the desires to enjoy those very things which are meant to be used in the service of Krishna. So that kind of detachment or renunciation is helpful for progressive bhakti yoga. So the devotee is not interested in the extremes, either for jnana or karma. The process of karma, for those who are very attached to performing fruitive activities, that inclination arises, Rupa Goswami says, from beginningless avidya. Avidya means ignorance. So ignorance that has been coming down from long, long ages, from many, many lifetimes. So these are the three qualifications. Let's repeat. The first one, one should have developed faith in the process of hearing and chanting, etc., about Sri Krishna. The second, one should not be extremely renounced, or one should not have an extreme aversion or disgust for the material world. And third, one should not be overly attached to the material world. So these are the three qualifications. Then he says, bhakti yogo, bhakti yogaha, asya siddhi daha. Siddhi means perfection. So a person who has these three qualifications should attempt to gain perfection in life through bhakti yoga. Such a person should not do jnana yoga and karma yoga. Of course, he also explains basically in the later verses that for one who is somewhat inclined strongly towards material life and still has some interest in bhakti yoga, should do karma yoga and gradually come to the platform of bhakti yoga. Like we have many devotees who may have professional work and they're attached to the kind of professions they do. And so they're doing bhakti yoga because they are chanting, they come here to the temple, hear Krishna Katha. But there's also attachment to doing a particular kind of work, and there's some degree of attachment to the fruits of their actions also. So there is a kind of karma yoga mixed with bhakti yoga. Yeah? Bhakti yoga means straight and direct devotional service, where the actions themselves are an offering of love to Krishna. So when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, that act of sitting and hearing is an offering to Krishna of love. When we speak Srimad Bhagavatam, chant the holy names, worship the deity, these are direct devotional activities. We don't offer the fruits of these actions to Krishna. We offer the very actions themselves as love to Krishna. So as Krishna says, tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shravanadova shraddha yavanna jayate. So one should perform one's prescribed duties in the material world so long as one has not aroused within one's heart strong faith in the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. So therefore there are three kinds of people with three kinds of tastes according to the three kinds of attachments they have. So one who has a taste for material life should go for karma. One who has a taste for renounced life should go for jnana. And one who has a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna should go for bhakti. So which is it that we want? We want the taste and attraction and attachment for hearing and chanting about Krishna and rendering various other types of services. So Krishna says, yadrichaya matkathado. The word yadrichaya means by good fortune. So what does this good fortune mean? Srila Prabhupada explains, this good fortune means that these are past impressions from association with pure devotees. Such a wonderful thing. Please hear this carefully. Good fortune means that one has past impressions of past association with pure devotees. One may not remember those things consciously, but those impressions are embedded in our psyche, in our chitta. And those samskaras are now making us have a sense of natural taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So then, this is good fortune. And then this brings us again into the association of devotees, where we will hear and chant about Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Shushru Shoshad Dhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchihi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanat. That by serving great devotees, Mahat refers to great devotees. So by serving great devotees, much is accomplished. What is accomplished? If one serves these devotees with faith, one serves them sincerely in a mood of humility, then one develops taste, ruchi, for Vasudeva Katha, for Krishna Katha. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in the last line of that purport, that eagerness to hear about Krishna is the qualification necessary for entering into the kingdom of God. And previously he mentions that, and the verse itself says, that this eagerness to hear about Krishna comes about by serving the great devotees. And this is precisely the situation that Narad Muni is describing in this verse that we have discussed today. It was his own situation when, in the previous life, as a small boy, he got the association of these great souls. He served them faithfully in a humble mood. His senses were controlled. And he heard about Krishna from them. He had the taste. And therefore, he was now the eligible candidate for becoming a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. So these are instructive lessons for us. So the conclusions are, number one, that we should associate regularly with devotees of the Lord and hear about Krishna from them. And in order to develop that taste for hearing, one should serve the Vaishnavas. So by serving the devotees, one gets the eligibility to hear Krishna Katha. By hearing Krishna Katha with eagerness, one becomes eligible to enter into the spiritual world. That is the success of life. Thank you very much. We'll stop here. We'll have some discussion. Are there any questions or comments?